Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
So we're going to be in Genesis, Genesis 12, and it'll be verses 1 through 4. So this is the blessing to Abraham. So I want to look at what it means for us and then also the implications of it. So I'll go at Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. At some point that might start working. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So this blessing to Abraham sets in motion God setting a people aside for himself. And within this blessing, there are actually three promises in these verses. There's books written on these promises. There's land, one of prosperity, and then the actual blessing. And so today we're going to focus on that blessing. It's through this blessing that we see God's plan to redeem the world, all of us, and his love for the nations. And as we wonder or read this, we may wonder why Abraham, why did he receive this blessing? As humans, we're always trying to find the math solution, the reason for certain things. And when we read this, there's no lead up, no workup of Abraham's character or righteousness at all. In the previous chapter, it just talks about his genealogy, so we don't have much idea where Abraham is exactly coming from. Chapter 12 says, "The Lord had said to Abraham." That's how it starts. That's our introduction to Abram. So we have to read ahead in the book of Joshua to get the idea of what his family was like. Joshua 24:2 says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods." So God speaks to this man whose family worships other gods and then sets him aside out of God's sovereignty of grace. Not because of Abram's merits or qualifications, but out of God's sovereignty and grace, he sets him aside. But whenever we're reading scripture and it talks, God says something or to do something, it's pretty important to notice what that response was. So Abram had this experience with God and then followed in faith. The writer of Hebrews 11:8, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Can you imagine that? Are there some times in your life where you were taking the step forward but not knowing where you were going? This is very real to us. So almost 6 years ago is when we started this process, when we felt God calling us towards overseas. And we were praying for direction, and we felt that God may be calling us towards displaced peoples, refugees. And then we joined an organization. And then we're being interviewed by this interview panel, and it's horribly frightening. They're giving you theology questions, and you're like, I'm not sure right now. And but the first question they asked was, "What do you want to do?" We're like, I'm not sure. That's why we were coming here. We thought you were going to tell us where we could serve, what we can do. Like, we had this idea. All we knew was, I think God's leading us towards displaced peoples. And then as it went a little bit longer, I think maybe Muslims. And that's all we had going in there. And then they're asking us, and we were just wanting to be shown well, here's an opening, here's an opening, and that's not how they work. They want to see where God is leading you, what he is equipping you to do. And it was an amazing thing. It took a lot of prayer and searching to slowly get to where we think God is now leading us. And I laugh because when I wrote this first, I first gave this sermon in June when we spoke at a church in Burns. We were going to France when I wrote this. And so now it's even changed again as we come back around. And it's just amazing how God does it. He calls you, and then it's up to you to follow. And sometimes you don't know where he's going, or you think you know, and then it changes. So how many times has that happened to you, God calling you, asking you to do something? But how many times do we not listen, or we try to get the details, try to figure out all the, you know, dot our I's, cross our T's, and figure out where we're going? This great faith that we read about Abraham is from his obedience and response to the Lord. And I pray that we can all be quick to obey as Abraham as well. So not because of Abraham, but because of God's grace and sovereignty, he makes these promises to Abraham. But what is the purpose of being blessed? It sounds nice. Why is God doing this? Verse 2, it tells us it is to be a blessing. So this isn't just a personal gift for Abraham and his family. This was meant to have an impact outside of him and immediately what's going on with himself. There's a responsibility to this. God is telling Abraham that he will bless him, and he will bless others in response to that blessing. So this is not something to hold close to you, but to share with others. So who is Abraham a blessing to? Who are the beneficiaries of this blessing? So in verse 3, we look and see, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And depending on your translation, it could say families. And the point is that everyone on earth will be blessed through Abraham. Even though Abraham benefits from this blessing, we see that the vision goes further than just Abraham. We know this because Isaac, in Genesis 26:4, and Jacob in Genesis 28:14, they received the same blessing. That through their offspring or seed, the nations or families would be blessed. There's this global focus to this blessing. Somehow, all people would be blessed through the seed of Abraham. Even though God is setting people aside for him, Israel, he still has a love for the nations. This is pretty big when you think about it. So Abraham, that's chapter 12. If you've read the first 12 or 11 chapters of the Bible, it didn't go very well. It starts off rocky. And yet God still has this love for the people. And he still wants to redeem them, even though we have done nothing to deserve it. And it's through this nation, Israel, that the other nations will be able to be blessed. So it's more than here and now. This blessing is pointing towards something in the future that'll change things for the whole world. So Abraham, you have to wonder, like, what he thought when he heard that. What did this exactly mean for him? See, we have the advantage of hindsight. The people of the Old Testament only had a shadow of what was to come. But we get the New Testament. We can kind of see how that Old Testament is getting filled in, that this vision that God has for his people. So God faithfully laid this redemption plan to get to the death and resurrection of Jesus. It was at this time that the disciples actually start to understand the things that Jesus was telling them during his time. Peter understood the context in Acts 3, the blessing, healing of the crippled beggar. He talked about this blessing. And then Paul also clearly lays out this idea to his readers in Galatians, what I had Rod read for us earlier. In the book of Galatians, Paul's writing to Galatian believers about the response of relationship of law versus grace and promise. Here he expands on Abraham's faith and the promise that came before the law. in verse 3:14. Let's see if it comes up. There we are. Verse 3:14 of Galatians. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And this is how all families of the earth are blessed. They are blessed because Jesus provided the way for salvation. When before there's nothing but law and all of man's inability to live up to it, now there was a way through faith in Jesus Christ. So even though not fully understood at the time, God was laying out his plan of redemption of mankind and his blessing to Abraham. In fact, Paul says that this blessing was the gospel being proclaimed to Abraham. In verse 8, Paul says, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. Paul's summarizing the gospel. That is an amazing thing to think about, that the gospel that we have was preached 2,000 years before Jesus through God to Abraham. It is an awesome thing to think about. So many times we separate the Old Testament and the New Testament, the hard-to-read stuff and the kind of hard-to-read stuff, and we forget that God is, from the beginning, it is pointing towards something great. It is pointing us towards Jesus. And in the 12th chapter of Genesis, there is a glimpse, a shadow of the gospel, of the saving faith in Jesus Christ. Paul speaks of this faith and what it means for us in verse 9. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This is important on many levels. One is that only through faith can you share in this blessing. Second is that with faith, we do share in this blessing with Abraham. And to bring this point home at the end of Galatians, Paul clearly states, if you belong to Christ, then you are seeds, Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Just like Abraham, I think there's a responsibility to this for us as well. Abraham's blessing was to bless others, and in the same way, we are blessed to bless others as well. If through our faith, we are part of this blessing, the flip side of that is that we are separated from this blessing without a faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a big deal. As a follower of Christ, you have one of the most awesome gifts. And it is not for you to hold on to, but to share with others. If it is only through Jesus Christ that all families on earth can be blessed, how can they be blessed if they have not heard who he is and what he has done for them? In God's blessing at Abraham, we see God's plan of redemption. From the beginning, God was working together something that would cause his name to be glorified among every nation, tribe, people, and language. Now, it's through that faith that we share in this blessing with Abraham. So if we are heirs to this promise, if we are blessed to be a blessing as well, what does that look like for us? We have this huge blessing in Jesus, and it's something that needs to be shared. And it's amazing the freedom that God gives us in how to be a blessing in our lives. He has placed each one of you in a certain life circumstance to glorify his name and to be a blessing to those around you. There's no formulas or best practices, but he does ask us that we need to obey and be faithful and follow him. And just like Abraham, you may not have any idea of where you're going or where this is leading you, but we have faith and we follow that path that God lays out before us, wherever that may be. And we are privileged, and I think it's good to remember that we are privileged that God does use us in his redemptive plan of mankind. I know for our family, as we've reflected on how we were to be a blessing, it drastically changed our lives and what that looked like for us. That was almost 6 years ago now. And then God has taught and molded us so much through that time. And as I look at that, we're not even on the field yet. That's, from everything I hear, the harder part. So God just works through your life and points you, or you need to stay pointed towards him, taking that next step, whatever that may be. And it's going to look different for each one of you. Right now, as we look around at our nation, our community, our church, we need to ask how we can be a blessing to one another, to people outside of this church as well. And God, I just pray that each one of you finds how God is directing you to be a blessing. God, how can you make his name known among the people around you? Kind of to wrap up before I close, this was kind of praying about it. And so today I got to baptize Adley, which was pretty amazing deal. And in 1 Peter, Peter talks about the devil being a lion roaring and prowling. And the Satan doesn't like baptisms and people coming to Christ and people worshiping. And I think if you look at this past, well, year, but even just this week, it would be easy to go, oh man, look at all these coincidences. But I think that would be naive just from, you know, the stress of having to deal with an OSHA thing. That can be hard. Both our pastors are out with COVID, or not COVID, but they are quarantining. We just got a call this morning that Angie's grandparents, they had to go to the ER because her grandpa slipped and fell yesterday and they need to get him checked out. And it was at that phone call that it just hit me that the devil doesn't want us together. And I don't say this to admonish you guys, but I just want to encourage you to pray for one another. We need to pray together and be together, because God, or the devil, does not want us to worship our Creator and our Lord. So with that, I'll close in prayer. Father God, you are a good, good Father. I thank you for everything that you have given us. God, for this day, for the baptism today, I hope that is an encouragement to others. God, for our faith in you, that you are a mighty God and that you are laying paths out before us, Lord, and that we just need to follow you in faith. I thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. God, for this church family, for us to gather together and worship your glorious name. God, I pray for many more Sundays of worship with you, with these people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.